Just sang a song. I can see the love in your eyes. I can see the love in your... Lovely song. No, I can't, is what the people of God said. No, I can't. I can't see the love of you. Gods, what are you doing? Look around. It's not a song that would have been familiar to Malachi. Well, we're going to have a little look at Malachi and why they were, let's just say they were grumpy again. God's people were grumpy again. And this, hopefully, will help us to see how we are there in the middle of it. To be honest with you, the danger is we become a grumpy people, not seeing the love of God in our lives. So let's begin with prayer, and then we'll go on a little adventure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to spend some time thinking about how much you love us. Lead us and guide us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I've been asked to speak on Marvel tonight, which I thought was very appropriate, seeing as though Endgame has come out. The spoilers are now free and you're allowed to watch them. So I'm allowed, actually. A couple of weeks ago I couldn't, but now I can spoil the whole of the movie and talk. Oh, no, sorry. Did I say Marvel? I meant Malachi. Sorry, we're looking at Malachi tonight. But as I spent a bit of time thinking about this, it is quite funny that actually there are similarities, but there's also massive differences as we think about this story in the Bible. Oh, it's now wet, isn't it? Here we go. L-A-C-H-I. Oops. Someone go and get me some toilet roll. Be better than my wipes. Be great. Thank you. So the question is, what is Malachi all about? How do we get to here? Where does it sit? Well, hopefully, first viewing, you'll see that Malachi sits in the middle of the Bible. It's that point at which the Old Testament is pretty much done, and then the New Testament is just around the corner. Okay? I was told when I was a young person, there's a page here. Have you seen that page here where it says the New Testament? You see the page that says the New Testament? Okay, just hold on to that. Rip it out of your Bibles. It was one of those days where I just kind of, you can't do that. But the truth is this, is actually, it is an unhelpful page sometimes in our Bibles. Because actually it's all one big story. So if you haven't worked out that it's all one big story and the Old Testament is relevant for the New Testament, then today is a great day for you to listen up. Thank you ever so much. And so what we've got in Malachi is the story so far. Well, here we go. If we were doing Avengers, it's obvious. Steve went to see Endgame the other day. His comment was, I haven't seen many of the movies. It didn't all kind of fit together. It didn't make sense. Well, it wouldn't. Because like Malachi, it sits in the middle of the Bible. And if you don't look at the Old Testament, you miss out so much of the build-up story. Okay? You miss the first Avenger, Abraham. Yeah? See what I've done? Thank you. You see, what you've got is the story of Abraham. And Abraham starts the story with God having a special relationship with him and saying, I'm going to raise up a people, a place and a blessing. Look out for the people, place and blessing. That's something really exciting. And then you don't get the Hulk. But what you've got is a mighty, mighty Moses. And then, of course, so Moses is here. Abraham is here. So actually, in Abraham's day, people place and promise. It's very exciting. He leaves, but doesn't really see much of a fulfillment of a place. He sees people, and their family grows and grows, and actually miraculously at a time when they're barren. But anyway, that's why the Old Testament is really helpful, for us to see this amazing journey. This is like a movie in and of itself. That kind of, how's God going to do it? He's going to raise up Abraham and Sarah. Brilliant, but they can't have children. How are they going to solve it? He's finally going to have a child, and then God's going to say, take him up to the top of the hill and kill him, and you're just going, what's happening? So anyway, the movie's coming out when I get a bit of money to make the movie of Abraham, obviously.
And then, of course, Moses is another kind of, it's like a dramatic kind of movie in and of itself. Moses is raised to slavery. Everybody's being treated really badly. And God raises up this Moses, and Moses comes with superpowers, or at least it's not him that's amazing. It's God who's amazing behind him. And then he kind of drops his stick on the floor. It turns into a snake, all that kind of stuff. This is all our, you know, it's the Sunday school stuff that we often just teach the children. But actually it helps us with Malachi, because it's going to set the story. To be honest with you, this kind of up and down, up and down, up and down Spider-Man is not in the Bible, for those who need to know. He's a bit like Spider-Man. I don't know, David, there you go. David, he's a shepherd. Well, anyway, we'll make an exciting movie out of that one, I'm sure. That'd be great. And then Guardians of the Galaxy. Do you know what? Guardians of the Galaxy are like the Judges. You kind of go, are they really that super? The Guardians of the Galaxy, they're kind of oddballs. And actually, as you get to the Judges, as you go on in the Judges, you realise that they get worse and worse, and actually not really super at all. Until you get to this point where you kind of keep the middle section. It's not Infinity War, we'll call it Eternity. Okay, come and see me afterwards if you want to obviously invest money in my new movie. So the thinking with Malachi is that you've been on this journey so far. You've seen all these stories. And actually, by the time you get to Malachi, you're in that place where you realize there is no hope. Infinity War, actually, the movie is great because at the end of it, they lose. It's a shocker of a movie to finish with them losing. Well, by the end of the Old Testament, you realize we've lost. I say we've lost, but actually God's people, time and time and time again, have lost. And what's more shocking about the Old Testament is, do you know who God's people are fighting against by the end of the Old Testament? It's God. God's raised up the Babylonians, the enemies, to defeat his own people so that they learn a lesson. And you just think, maybe they've learned that lesson. Maybe we get to Malachi and the people are who they're supposed to be, enjoying the people, place and blessing. Well, this section here is the exile. Is where the Babylonians win. God's people have been kicked out of Jerusalem, their land. But then we know in Ezra and Nehemiah, they get back into the land, or at least some of them come back. They start rebuilding the walls. The city looks better than it did before, and the temple has been rebuilt, but it's not quite as good as it used to be. We don't look quite as healthy as we did. And then we have, having come back, we have about 100 years before Malachi then comes on the scene. And this is, if you want to see the big picture, is about 450 BC. So, if you're still in kind of Marvel mode, Captain Marvel hasn't come yet. But anyway, that's the thing, is that Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And the great thing about Jesus is coming is that the whole of the Old Testament tells you Jesus is coming. It looks rubbish and it's getting worse. Jesus is coming. God's people may have been saved. Josiah or some of the Old Testament prophets, yes, they may have restored hope for a period of time, but it just gets worse and worse. There's got to be another way. So we get to this Malachi, and the people have had 100 years back, and having come back, they're now going, is this it, God? I can't see the love. I can't see how we're any better than we have been. In fact, actually, we think we're worse off than we have been so far. We get to Malachi, and God's people are going to moan. They're going to moan. In Malachi, there are six moans, okay? So it is an eye-opening book, because actually many of the moans, as we read about them, you think, do you know what? That could be me today. If I don't watch my heart, that could be me. So what are the six moans? How do you spot them in Malachi? You'll see them a little later on, because you'll see where it says that phrase. But you ask... God speaking to his people through Malachi, and the people have said, and that's what we're going to see where it says, but you ask. You see it, verse 1, can you see that? But then it comes again a little later on. This time around, God says, I've loved you, but you say, or you ask. You'll see it a little later on, each time. But how have we despised you? That's going to come on six times. That's going to be an echo throughout Malachi. And what we're going to see is this, is we're going to see God time and time again opening their eyes to see all that he's got to teach them and how they should have learnt the lesson by now. Time and time again, as they have said, oh, God, we're back here and we're no better off than we were before. And the answer is, because I've got a better way. Jesus is coming. So Malachi will do a little bit of this. Malachi will help us to look back and see all that's gone before, and it's going to look ahead and see that Jesus is coming. That's where we're going to get to in Malachi, but the short term, we're going to have a little look at some of the moans that they have. Here we go. Have a look with me at the beginning of Malachi. A prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Prophecy, the word of the Lord of Israel through Malachi. Malachi means messenger. He is God's messenger. We don't know much about Malachi. Basically, he's just God, someone that God has chosen. And what is the first thing that they say? I've loved you, God says. I've loved you. And they turn around and go, how have you loved us? It's like being a father. None of my children are here tonight. But it's like me kind of saying, but I love you. I want the best for you. And for them to turn around and go, I haven't seen much love. How have you loved me? I'd be heartbroken. But that's what the situation is here. God's people have turned around to God and gone, we don't really see that love. And I think particularly because of the situation that they're in at the time. So how does God help them through it when they are kind of back in the land, the promised land, but nowhere near as strong and healthy as they have been? They don't really see God's blessing in a way that they were hoping. They don't seem to be the amazing nation that they'd like to be. So what is the answer? God takes them on just one little trip down memory lane. He takes them back. He takes them back to Genesis to see Jacob and Esau. So it's kind of back to one of these stories in the Old Testament. And so what's the story behind Jacob and Esau? Well, we know Jacob and Esau, well, they were twins. They both came out at the same time. Esau popped out first. Firstborn was going to have the inheritance and everything for him. That's what happened in that generation. But the reality was that Jacob ended up being the favored one, through whom God's blessing was going to be seen. Jacob and Jacob's people, who were called Israel. That is where the blessing is. So have a look how God helps them to see that he has loved them. He takes them back. Was not Jacob, Esau, Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Of course, they answer, yes, of course he was. And we know that they were twins as well. Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. God is basically setting up here, how can you say I haven't loved you when I've favored you over your brother and your brother's nation? It's as though God's kind of reminding them, look, it's as though I've made a covenant promise with you. It's as though I'm married to you and I've been faithful to you. And so how can you say that I don't love you anymore? Going back to the very early days, I picked you and not anyone else. I picked you. And so he uses the comparison of the elder brother who should have got everything to be a helpful picture of going, you were the younger brother, you were the nation that followed. You in this culture, at that time, you shouldn't have got any of it, any of the blessing. And yet I loved you so much that I gave you all of the blessing. And so therefore, you can see your brothers, or at least that other nation's heritage, an inheritance. It's basically a wasteland. It's a wasteland and the desert jackals are there. Esau's nation that followed him, so Jacob had a nation, they were called Israel. you'll have heard of them. But actually, Esau had a nation, and they were called Edom, Edomites. Well, you don't often hear about them. Well, why? Because God hadn't favoured them. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. They're there going, yes, we're still going to fight on, and we're going to gain our birthright and be restored. And God says, no, you made your choice. I have loved Jacob, and therefore I will not only have opposed you, but I will continue to oppose you. That's what he says here. Look, but this is what the Lord Almighty says. They will build, but I will demolish. They'll be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of God, of the Lord. I think what's interesting here is they'll be called a wicked land. The reality is God's not going to make them a wicked land. He's just going to expose them for being the wicked people that they are, having followed in Esau's footsteps, not really caring about firstborn rights and the promises of God and the inheritance that should be his. Ultimately, God's just exposing them to be wicked, a people under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes, and you will say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. God's helping them to see, it's not that I've loved you, and I've loved you, but let everybody else do their own thing, and they're having a lovely time and also enjoying themselves. But actually, I just love you. No. He says, I've loved you. I've favoured you. I've given you a people, place, and blessing. You are massively blessed. And actually, I have held back the blessing from the other nations. Because what you're going to see and have seen over the generations is how actually I am the one who gives true blessing, true victory. I'm the one who is to fulfil my purposes. Actually, I am the one who's behind the whole of this story. I'm in control, and we'll raise up your enemies and we'll defeat them as well, and ultimately see that this is not the way through which you will be saved. So the people who turned to God and said, how have you loved us? I don't see the love. I don't see the love. I don't know whether is that you today? I don't know how you look at whether it's your A-levels that are kind of bearing down on you at the moment, or maybe it's personal circumstances. Maybe there's sadness in the family, there's an imminent death or cancer, or maybe you've lost someone, or maybe you've lost a job. Maybe you've got family ructions. Maybe there's something else happening at this time. Well, the reality is, as Malachi wrote, I think people would have felt the same. In their present circumstances, they didn't feel much loved by God. I'm sure there will be many in this room who, in their present circumstances, will look back to a brighter day and think, actually, at the moment, I don't feel much love. I don't feel particularly blessed. There is no health, wealth, and happiness that seems to be kind of causing me to skip along the road. God is encouraging us to look far beyond our present circumstances, to look back at how, if you are sat here, the reality is, if you are one of the chosen people of God, if you are a child of Abraham by faith, then you are so much loved. Do you have Christ's inheritance? I know, it's a spoiler. You think the end game spoilers are... No, but the real spoiler is me telling you about all that you've got in Jesus Christ. That's the real spoiler. Because in Malachi, they didn't know it. But actually, in Jesus Christ, we do. The spoiler is, we have so much in Christ, those riches. So our present circumstances are blown away by the knowledge that God has loved us, has chosen us. The word predestined also is one of those helpful words that goes, do you know what? He saw you even before you were born, and he knew you'd be here tonight. He's smiling and loving the fact that you're here amongst brothers and sisters. Encouraged, challenged, maybe struggling, maybe delighting. But you're here in a place where God is reminding you that he has loved you and has heaped blessing on you. And don't think it's because you're special. My goodness, look at the nation of Israel and you clearly can see they were not special in any way. as I look around the room. You are special because you've been chosen and predestined. But actually, I don't know whether you've got brothers and sisters, you've got relatives who don't follow Christ, who don't know of the covenantal blessing that God has heaped on them, that they haven't been chosen. I do. And it's with sadness. But I can't dwell just on them not receiving the blessing. I also must, flip of the coin, rejoice in the blessing that God has given us. Well, are you a moaner? The people of God were. I trust that we aren't today. And we come alongside and help all those who will be tempted to moan. My house at the moment is slightly tinged with moaning. Stress of everything that's going on. But actually, to come alongside and encourage, to help them to lift their eyes to see the bigger picture. The bigger picture, the salvation story, to hear the whispers of Jesus is coming. And actually, in Christ, we have all the riches that we need. So these momentary troubles, let's just encourage each other through them, knowing that there will be tough times. Let's fix our eyes not on the things of this world, not on the gifts that the giver gives, but actually on the giver himself. Let's not look and search for earthly riches, forgetting the love of the Father and how we have been truly favored just being here in this nation at this time. It is a gift for us to know Christ and to be transformed by his love. Well, maybe actually you're here going, I don't know, I don't understand. Or maybe I've heard it all before, but actually I still don't feel the love of God because I'm not really sure I'm a Christian. I'm not really sure that I have all that Jesus Christ has won for me. Well, maybe tonight is a chance for you to go, actually, I don't want to continue in this state of, I'm not really sure. Well, do you come and see me or Steve or Ben afterwards or Kathy? We'd love to pray with you. Just tell you the great news to help point you back to the love that God has shown for you. That you be a child of God. If you put your faith as Abraham, put his faith in God, we can be children of Abraham. We can be this nation, trusting in all that God has done. Let's spend a little time in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for Malachi, this prophet that we know nothing about, and yet he just quite simply told others. He told others what you had to say and reminded them that you love them. You have loved them, and you are heaping your covenant blessings on them. Help us as we sit here now to grasp how great your love is for us. As we've sung, I can see the love in your eyes. May that be true. May we see the love. And we've certainly seen it on the cross as Jesus Christ has died for us. But may we grasp a little greater how much you love us. Amen. Let's be silent for a moment. Maybe you are struggling. I'm aware in a big group like this, there will be those who are struggling at this moment, at this time. And maybe you know other people who are struggling. In the silence, let's name those people. Let's bring them to our Heavenly Father and ask that you would comfort them, open their eyes to see the bigger picture and how you have loved them. May we be part and parcel of that love to them that you show. We ask for your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We think further afield of nations who are struggling at this time, whether from natural disasters whether from terrorism. We think of the ways in which in this world we see hate, we see hurt. And as the passage finishes, great is the Lord even beyond the borders of Israel. God, you are so much greater than Crowborough. You are omnipresent. You are everywhere. And therefore, as people are facing these difficulties, draw alongside them. Remind them of Jesus. Lift their eyes to see the greater hope. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. And finally, here a prayer for us. It's Sunday, and Sunday is a great opportunity for us to slow down and to spend time with you. But it's followed by Monday. And Monday's often manic, and we rush into the week, forgetting you, forgetting all that you've done for us. We ask for your help now. May we acknowledge and be very aware of your presence Monday through to Saturday. May we sing your praises at all times, not just when we're here on Sunday. May we speak with you in those quiet moments, in each and every day, not just when we're here gathered together. May we be looking out for opportunities to speak of you and to love others. For we know that as we love others, we are loving you. Lead us and guide us this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.